Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're talking about contentment. That's been our topic all week. Yesterday, we had a fabulous broadcast on this particular edition. Tammy called and talked about all the things that she had been looking to in the world to try to find contentment and try to find peace. And finally, that search led her to Jesus Christ, and we had the wonderful opportunity of leading her to the Lord yesterday. Several other people wrote to us and said they prayed along with Tammy. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful broadcast yesterday. And that's what this program is all about. That's why we do what we do, to try to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ, because that's the only place that we can find true contentment. I love how the writer of Hebrews stated it, keep your lives free from the love of money. That's where we get caught up all the time. We love what money can buy for us because we think those things can ultimately bring us happiness. But that's not true. So he says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In this gospel message, we get Jesus, and he's enough for everything. His grace is sufficient. And that's the good news that we like to proclaim and to give out each and every day on this particular broadcast. And Andrew Farley is with us today. It's Wednesday, so Andrew, glad to have you on board.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bob. It's great to be here.
Well, it's always good to have you. You just bring a fresh voice and love your insights, and I know our listeners love hearing what you have to say about this good news of Jesus Christ. Well, we have plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you. So if you have a question about contentment, if you're struggling with that, you have a question about money, I mean, this topic is rubber meets the road stuff. This is where we live, and we have all kinds of questions. So if you have some of those that you would like to get answered, call right now, 1-800-677-9377, where we're going to go to Queens, New York, and talk to Devon listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Devon.
Hello. I listen to WMCA, and I want to say such an encouragement in my lonely hour. Matter of fact, many people have helped me out, by the way.
Well, that's wonderful, isn't it?
The Lord had delivered me. I had a few evil spirits in me, and the Lord had delivered me.
Well, the big thing, Devon, is that you have God's Spirit in you. The Spirit of Christ lives in you if you have received Him. And so do you know for certain that you are inhabited, that Christ Jesus Himself lives in you? Do you know that? Do you know if Christ Jesus lives in you?
Yes, I know. I know that I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost.
And you
and
know
the
that
Spirit
Christ
of God dwells in me.
Yes, so He is not going to share you with any other spirit. I just want to encourage you that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then as you say, you are a temple of God's Holy Spirit, and God's not going to share you with anything else. So you can be encouraged that you have been filled with Christ, and you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that, you know, the core of your being is a safe place now, inhabited by Christ. So, you know, you might have had a bit of Ghostbusters theology, you know, where we think that we get slimed by this, that, or the other. And I want to encourage you that, you know, you are filled and sealed with God's Holy Spirit, and that He will not share you with any other spirit. And so you truly are safe and secure in Christ. And you might be accused, you might be afflicted, you might be tempted, but as far as the spiritual geography of your life, the Holy Spirit has now taken up residence in you, and you are safe and secure in Him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, good. Well, you talk about encouragement. I hope that that is the greatest encouragement that we really can all have, that we are safe and secure in Christ. So being a Christian is receiving Christ. Being a Christian is having the Holy Spirit live in you. And being a Christian means He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and He will not share you with evil spirits. So I know that you feel freer now in some way, and I'm glad for that. You know, we're all growing, and we get a renewing of the mind, and our thoughts change and our actions change as we grow in Christ. But, you know, if you have received Christ and opened the door of your life, then you are safe and secure in Him. He has sealed you forever. So thanks for your call. Appreciate hearing from you. Glad the radio station has been a ministry in your life, and that our program has helped. You know, Bob, I don't know if there's want to get information.
Well, here's
send
what
something.
We'll do, Devon, and we are so grateful that we're a part of your life through this radio broadcast. We're grateful that you're a part of ours. What I want to do is put you on hold. We have some wonderful resources that can really ground you in this new life that you have in Christ, and we want to put those into your hands, just our gift to you. Okay, Devon?
All right.
You hang on the line. We'll send that to you. Guys, that's to me, that's a wonderful testimony. A lot of times we feel lonely out there in the world, and oftentimes it's a radio broadcast, a voice that you hear as you're scanning the dials, that catches your attention, that addresses that sense of loneliness. And we are so grateful that with that we can communicate the good news of Jesus Christ, because as one caller said on the earlier broadcast, you know, coming to know Him, you're never alone again, because He's right there inside of you, constantly assuring you that He loves you, that He's there for you, that you belong to Him. So we're excited about that and so grateful that Devon called today. And if there's anyone else that may be lonely, and sometimes loneliness is one of those triggers that makes us use money in a way that's going to hurt us, that's eventually going to hurt us. I know when I was single and alone at times, and I would get into those moments of self-pity, going, woe is me, and I deserve a little happiness in life. That's when I got my credit card out and would go and buy stuff. And, you know, it might be a new outfit, could be something sports-related, a new tennis racket, new driver for the golf clubs, and I'd still feel lonely. But when I really rested in who I was in Christ, that's when that loneliness went away. And so it's vitally important for us to understand that if we're Christians, we're never, ever alone. So if that's something that's troubling you, we would love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Yeah, Bob, we've got an email here from Denise, who is writing from Ohio. It says, in the Bible, when idols are mentioned, it usually refers to false gods, false religion, suppressing the truth, things like that. However, today, many preach that things in our everyday lives can become idols, like jobs, hobbies, even our ministries. I can see how these things get out of balance, but to actually become our idols, can that be when God is our God?
It's a great question, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'll just give my opinion on this. This is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that you can line up 30 sermons a year on idols, and one week you go to church and you hear that you shouldn't love your job too much, that you better love God more. Next week, you shouldn't love your family too much, you should love God more. Next week, you shouldn't love your hobbies too much, you should love God more. And it get into this business of trying to put God first. And I see the intention behind it for some, but at the same time, guys, I feel like it is a bottomless pit of trying to priority set, as if God is a priority among three or four or five things. Here's my thought on it. First of all, God is first. God is the creator. He spoke us into existence. Christ is our life. He's not a priority. He's our life. So Christ is my life in the midst of family. Christ is my life in the midst of my job. Christ is my life in the midst of my hobbies. And so when I begin to grasp this new identity that I have, where Christ is actually my life and he lives in me, then I don't have to try to rank everything and try to get him first. He's not competing with my job. He's not competing with my family. He is life to me. And so I do think there's a subtle error in that sort of message where we've got to get God first and everything else is an idol.
Yeah, I think we need to look at, him as kind of the sun. I mean, he is the center. Everything else revolves around him. And all of those things in our lives revolve around who he is in the center of who we are. So I think that's a powerful thing. Also, when it comes to idols, we know there's no such thing as idols. There's no such thing as other gods. They don't exist. That's just man-made stuff. That's just things that we are dreaming up. But there is this issue of worship. Who do we worship? Whom do we worship? What do we worship? And whatever we worship is going to ultimately control us. And I think that's why Jesus just cut through all the clutter and brought it down to this. You can't serve God and you can't serve money at the same time. So underneath all of those things that we create, you know, all of those gods, you know, you look at Roman mythology, you look at Greek mythology. I think underneath all of that is this ultimate worship of money. If you want to know why things happen the way they happen in the world today, follow the money.
Every time.
Why is there a conflict in the Middle East? Follow the money. Why do we have all the political divisions and strife and stuff here in this country? We'll follow the money. You have these big lobby groups with lots of money. And that attracts people's attention, and they're like, "Oh, well, if we can get some of that, then you know we will make sure we'll vote in your way." That's what it really gets down to. So I like the way that Jesus just simplifies things for us, just brings it down to the nitty gritty, and says, "If you will let your heart be changed by Jesus, if you will let the Spirit circumcise your heart so that you can worship him, then everything else is going to fall into proper place. Even money. You won't see it as something to worship. You'll see it as something to use to advance the kingdom of God." That's good news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and everything else sort of crumbles in comparison. I mean, you know, some people out there, their thing is not money. Their thing is power, or their thing is recognition, or their thing is praise from man. It seems like there's four or five different flavors of fleshy pursuit out there, similar to money, but it might not actually be the cash itself. But what I love about the way this message just operates is that the reality sets in. These things crumble. I mean, they never satisfy. There's never enough praise. There's never enough money. There's never enough recognition. There's never enough power. And really, it's all hollow compared to knowing Christ. And I just love, Bob, that, you know, the mother of five kids sitting at home that can't be out on the mission field in Africa somewhere, and every single human that is in Christ, they literally and actually can enjoy the best thing going on planet Earth. And that is truly just a getting to know a Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
Now, we've got another question from Doug, who wrote in from Colorado. You've talked about that once you've accepted salvation, you can't lose it because it's a gift from God. There's only one unpardonable sin, which is unbelief. What do you do with someone who says they've been a Christian all this time, and they turn around and say, "I just don't believe anymore"? How do you explain that? He needs words.
Exactly. Because has that person lost their salvation? Were they saved and now they're not saved? Mm-hmm. And that's an issue.
It's
and
a
lot of
question.
People would say that. There's a theology, there's a doctrine out there that says you can walk away from God. But I don't think the scripture teaches that at all. I think if you're truly saved, You are saved completely, as the writer of Hebrews said in the book or in that letter, because Jesus lives forever, he's able to save us completely. So once we're saved, we're saved. So what about that guy who just all of a sudden says, I don't believe anymore, and walks away? What does Scripture say about him?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's one place where it says that they went out from among us because they were never really part of us. And I think that when the apostle writes that, he's basically trying to explain what happened to Jim and Bill and Susie that we all knew and loved, and they hung out with us for 17 Sundays, and we shared in the Lord's Supper with them, and we met their kids, and we got to know them, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're gone, and they could care less about the church. How does that fit into my theological box? And the apostle is saying they went out from among us because they were never really part of us. So to me, it's saying, you know, you can affiliate with a movement, you can affiliate with a doctrine, you can affiliate with a building, you can affiliate with a group. But if you have not affiliated, that means identified with Christ spiritually and been transformed, born again, then none of that's going to matter. And eventually you'll probably get bored with church, bored with church people, bored with churchy living, and go off and seek something else. And so we all have somebody in our lives maybe that we know they don't fit in our theological box. And I guess what I would say is don't form theology based on your friends. Don't form theology backwards based on humans and observing them. But go right to the Word of God and just know, just be aware of the simple truth that some people will fall away from the church because they were never really part of it to begin with.
Well, and I think that gets down to the gospel message as well. What is the gospel message? It's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. That is the good news. It's Jesus doing something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. So we hear that good news, and then grace starts to operate. Grace moves in. It invades, you know, our hearts and souls, and we respond to that with faith. And it's a permanent transaction. It's life. Jesus comes to live inside of us, and we go from death to life. That's what this gospel message means to us on an individual basis. It means that we go from death to life. As Paul wrote, we are made alive together with Christ. So if you're made alive, that is a permanent, eternal transaction. Sin is the only thing that could rob you of that life, and Jesus has already dealt with that. Jesus has already dealt with the cause of death. He took it away once and for all through his shed blood on the cross. So when we receive that life, we know that it's eternal. We know that it's not just a temporary solution with the possibility of losing it. It's a permanent life, an eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus. So that's the takeaway. When grace works in our heart, and when we respond by faith, life enters in. And as Jesus said, as we talked about in the verse at the beginning of the program, he will never leave us nor forsake us. It's his life that we now have, and he's not going to forfeit his life.
Well, let me wax philosophical for just a second here. I would say that we have never met a person that has lost their salvation. I don't even see how that person could function. You think about the message of Galatians 2:20, that becoming a Christian is being crucified with Christ. You think about Romans 6:6, it says our old self died. All right, so our old self is crucified and dies with Christ, is buried, and then is never seen or heard from again. Then we are resurrected as a new creation. Now imagine we lost that, lost our salvation. Well, then we wouldn't be the new creation. We wouldn't be the old creation either. I guess we would just fall limp on the ground. We would have no spirit. So, you know, we can't lose our salvation. It makes no sense. We would be soul and body with no spirit. And we would be indwelt by nothing, and the old man is gone, and the new man would be gone, and we'd be no one. So, you know, the whole thing breaks down when you think about what you've said, Bob. Salvation is not just a movement or a building or a book or a destination called heaven. I mean, salvation is, wow, the life of Christ infused within you and you becoming a new creation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's one other aspect of this question that we haven't looked at, and I say this because I'm an example of it. There are many people who have, in various contexts, church contexts, said, I no longer believe this. I was one of those people. What I had found was Jesus. What I was rejecting was my old belief system. The people who were still in that belief system still look at me as someone who's rebelled and has thrown over the truth and all of that kind of stuff. So we've got to be real careful when people say these sort of things or we hear these stories. Let's go find out from the person, what is it that you were leaving? Mm. Is it a belief system that you could just no longer harmonize with the Word of God, or is it something else? And it opens a dialogue, and that's the point. You don't sit there and try to figure out whether they're lost or saved. Go talk to them. Find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Well, 1-800-677-9377 is the number. We're going to go quickly to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and talk with Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Glad to talk to you guys again. Well, I'm all alone in this house. My wife died about a year ago, and a while back I had a funny thing happen. I was sleeping, and all of a sudden I forgot to lock my back door. All of a sudden I heard the door slam. I thought, well, that's strange. Am I dreaming or what? Well, I thought maybe I'm just dreaming. I heard it slam again. Well, that is strange. Then I heard things dropping off my tables, and I heard a hissing noise. I got a table underneath the cupboard in my hallway, and I heard something else fall out of the cupboard. It was beside the table. It would all, if it fell out of the cupboard, it would fall on the table. And then I saw my Bible. I had it on the desk, probably about 8 feet away, on the side of the wall, not laying flat on the floor, just on the side.
And well, that's when I heard that. Figure out what was going on?
No, that's what I'm wondering. I heard a hissing noise and another thing. In the morning, I thought, I wonder what happened in the basement. Mm-hmm. And I had a bushel basket in the garage, and I never take it in the basement. And here I found it on the floor. The bottom tore out of it, slammed against the wall. And I fish a lot, and I have a couple fishing poles leaning against the wall. And here
the reels were
smashed like a truck fell. I'm wondering, what is it that caused that anyway? Was it Satan's followers or what?
Paul, we have no way of knowing.
I know. I didn't think you would, but
I think sometimes we try to, assume that might be what happened. But we don't know. There could be a very reasonable explanation. Maybe the wind did something. Who knows?
No,
but one of the things, Paul, that we need to realize that we still have Christ. We have Christ living in us, and I know that that's the case for you. And you just say, whatever it is, I know Christ was there to protect me, to comfort me, and I'm going to be satisfied with that. But Paul, thanks for calling today. We're out of time on today's broadcast. We want to remind our listeners of our wonderful resource that is available. It is a CD series, a two-message CD series called Grace and Money. It comes with a booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way. This is an issue that we all hate to talk about, that we kind of turn our backs on and just hope it's all going to work out. But God has some specific things to say to us. And if we will get a hold of those things, where our hearts are and learning that we're stewards and all of those sort of things, then we'll be able to face those money issues head on, to see them through the lens of God's grace and to actually apply His wisdom that's going to be meaningful to us. And we want to put that into your hands. Grace and Money, available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Again, any amount to Basic Gospel this month. And all the information is at basicgospel.net. That's our website, basicgospel.net. Just click the icon that says Grace and Money on the front page, and you will find out all the information on how you can get that resource. Well, to Andrew and to Richard and to the entire Basic Gospel team, thanks for joining us today. We'll be back again tomorrow at this same time.